A visit with Ruth Zazula, April 23rd, 2001. Other participants will be Al and Ruth George and Nancy Kuhn. We are meeting at the George's house, 512 Turning Road.
If I ever get this thing working, I'm going to stand there in front of this cooling system in my long johns and love it. Poor Gamble and I heard this and we're looking at each other, right? The day came when it worked. We said, okay, when are you going to do this? And of course he backed out. He was going to have nothing to do with it. Right? So he started up the ladder and cord. I grabbed him and started pulling off his overall. I mean, we had the half off. About that time, Leah comes out. She looks what we're doing. We're not getting very much work done, are we? That is all she said, went in, closed the door, and that blew it.
Well, she was a school teacher, wasn't she? And yes. That sounds exactly like the way a school teacher
is. I mean, we're all caught. Talk about three kids that were chastised. We had it. It was horrible. Oh, yeah, I know. The thing we did, it's unbelievable.
Well, Bert wrote up a lot of them, so we probably, we know some of them.
I didn't know he wrote up about the old man very much.
He mentioned him,
The old man had to go outside, that's what we call it, anyhow. Mm-hmm. He went outside, and Bert was to take care of his root cellar while he was gone to make sure things were right. He had three sections, the back being where the warmest was. And so Bert was to do all this stuff. Well, he thought that was fun, and he'd go prancing through there, smoking his cigar, because this is the way Bert was. You know, he had to do this because the old man disapproved. So Paul and I are thinking about this, and we're saying, okay. Very sneakily, we rigged it all up real nice. We made a dummy that looked exactly like Dr. Fitz. I mean, it sat there in a chair, and his hand was up, and he had the Bible, and we had a perfect dummy. I've got pictures of it. It's so funny. Put him in the back cellar there where the fire was that Bert was in. It's kind of in the corner. Well, Bert comes in, ha, 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 you know, cigar face. He's smoking the furnace, turns around. There's the old man. He was sick for 3 days because he swallowed a cigar. I think he was a bad day. Oh, it was wild.
Well, this prompts me to ask. I hear lots of stories about dummies being made. You were a window decorator, a window designer, or something?
In New York, yeah.
So this had something to do with your dummies?
Oh, well, yeah. It was fun, lots of fun.
Oh, of course it was. Yeah. Most of us wouldn't have the know-how to be so convincing, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know. Days in Alaska will get you going one way or another. Oh, hey, there you go.
Yeah.
It's fun, that is fun.
Yeah,
it's so pretty out here. I bet your trees are pretty when they bloom.
Yeah, we're looking forward to when the leaves come out, and then which is usually about Mother's Day, as I remember, and then the blossoms are later.
Yeah. Up on the campus, I was up on the campus the other day, and the leaf buds have already turned tipped green. They've broken open green. And I said, oh gosh, wouldn't that be nice if we really did have an early spring? I could use an early spring this year.
My little tulips are up out here.
Wow.
Yeah, and the wild anemone is showing up. So there's hope.
I remember one year we actually got to plant the 2nd of May.
Oh, boy, that was...
I remember that one year, just that one year.
Huh, was it a good year then?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was harvesting potatoes in the 4th of July, the red ones.
Oh, my heavens. Had it been an especially mild winter?
I don't recall.
What year was it?
Oh, golly.
Because I have a young friend who works for the Weather Service, and I call him up every once in a while and say, what was it like on a certain date?
It had to be in the 50s somewhere.
Yeah.
Of course, we were still using the one side for potatoes, and I remember we finally moved that, so it had to be the 50s, maybe 56, 57 probably.
Well, he could probably
it was
say
weird. It was really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be harvesting potatoes in July 4th, I mean, to get them to market and to
I couldn't believe it. I mean, to me, it was, of course, red ones came right fast. so early.
So what other things did you plant up here that you worked with?
Well, we had that whole acre and truck farm things.
And what was in your truck farm? I'm always curious because I did just a couple years.
What? Beans and peas and cabbages and cauliflowers. And
yeah,
stuff
all
like
the
that.
Cabbages.
Did you also do asparagus?
Big what?
Did you do asparagus?
No.
How about celery? I know Julie said that they did celery.
You can do beautiful celery, but I don't follow with it. It requires too much attention. It needs too much fertilizer. And you gotta watch it. You gotta watch it. So I don't know. Everything else grew so good, so it was great. Yeah, that was terrific. We used to take it to the market, but when I finally figured out the markup that they were getting on stuff like that, we just quit that, and it was easier to stay home instead of delivering.
Yeah,
just got on the radio and people came down, and it was so easy. I didn't even have to harvest. They went and take what they wanted.
Did you use trade radio?
What?
Did you use trade radio, or what was the radio station?
Radio in those days.
KFAR.
One of the radio stations, anyhow.
Yeah. Well, did you advertise?
Well, just get on there, you know, vegetables are ready. That was all at one time.
Yeah. Oh, sure. People
couldn't even eat on Sundays because they'd be bugging you to the last minute. But it was good. Real good.
Well, you've had a great location also. Not very far out of town, right on the corner there.
It amused me because people with 160 acres would come buy their vegetables off of me. I'm like, oh, people with a half acres.
Well, 160 acres is almost too many. It's kind of daunting.
Hey, you got all this beautiful property, you know, why don't you do something with it? But
were you able to make enough money with your truck farming that you...
It paid the taxes, bought the kids the clothes for school.
Mm-hmm.
It was good, huh?
And then you worked helping the other farmers with their potatoes during the wintertime?
Mm-hmm. And we helped with the harvest. We helped Henry with his harvest. And we were always there with Bert and his harvest, and we graded all winter and planted all spring. And
so it was pretty much a year-round operation.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So it was neat. I liked it because, I don't know, for some reason, being brought up in New York City, says, wait, this is fun.
Well, a lot of people wouldn't have thought so, would they?
No. No, not if you had to do it. It wouldn't be fun, but...
Yeah.
All right.
So what was Paul doing? Because this wasn't his income, was it? Wasn't he working, construction or something?
He was working construction until he finally got sick and tired of him going out in the bush.
Yeah.
And talked with, what the heck was his name? Oh, I could see it by camera. The man is creamy, I'm trying to...
Heine. Darwin Heine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And got hold of him. He put Paul to work there.
Oh,
which was the best thing that could have happened.
Oh.
Because he got in with the Teamsters and good retirement, so...
Mm-hmm.
He could do it, but... that was one of the days. We had the fattest pigs in the world.
Lee Rissy mentioned something about you folks raising pigs for a year on... cottage cheese from
the best pigs in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, they were good.
Milk-fed pigs.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, they were. Oh, they were nice pigs.
Well, now tell me again, when did you come up? 51.
51.
Boy, a lot of people came at 51.
Well, yeah, what was the draw in 51?
Jobs.
Well, yes, so after the war, the economy is just starting to open up. Is Alaska military booming?
Yeah. Ladd and Eielson.
Mm-hmm. Getting ready for the Korean War?
Cold War. And Korean War. Well, the Korean War.
Blue Line and White Alley.
Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Yeah, I'll pause up at Nome on that.
Those were major construction projects.
Yeah, that brought a lot of people up initially.
And there were a lot of people that had gotten out of the military in the mid to late 40s.
Mm-hmm.
The war was over in 47, 48. The colleges were getting jammed up with all the GIs coming back and wanting to go to school. And
a lot of people were remembering the Depression from before the war, and they were looking for jobs.
Well, there were times here, I don't know what was in in the early 50s when the work was very scarce. I can remember Paul getting laid off in like the end of September, not going back to work till July.
Mm.
It was tough sledding.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Very tough sledding.
They were mostly summertime construction period jobs. So.
But hey, we made it.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
We always did, thanks to the garden and the moose and mm-hmm. everything else. We did all right.
Yeah, you could feed yourself at least, and that was.
Well, we owed everybody because we're over. It was all right. Yeah, that'd be around 53 because I mean we couldn't pay Dave the payment on the land, and we couldn't. Paying on the truck, and we couldn't pay payment on this. We kept
well,
writing people and saying, hey, it's just a little tough now. Can you hold out for us? And they did.
Now, Mutchler isn't on this map, is he? So he'd already divided up his property and sold it off pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait a minute. Down here.
Well, here's looking. Mutchler.
Well, there he is. Okay.
Yeah, a big chunk left.
Okay, and Ed Kosolik bought, well, Ed ended up with that property.
Yeah.
A lot of that property.
There's your Reno, right?
There. Yep, that's the Reno subdivision. But you see, here's Jane Reno up here, 5 miles. Where are they? Here. See, here's Jane Reno and Ruby Rasmussen.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, a 5 mile curve. So that's why I wondered if there was some connection between.
Mm-hmm.
This must have been an earlier husband.
Why they didn't mention that, it really does. Well.
Yeah, in that obituary, that was odd.
Who's this here? I can't read it.
I wonder what ever happened to Art.
Cora mentioned that they had gone outside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she can tell you. She knew them.
Next to Hageman here.
This one here is stone. This says topping. And I think it must refer to this little piece right here. It's hard to know.
Genie Chinese, right?
Mm. Bert Hageman, William Collins, Harry Farwell, I guess that is, and William Martin.
At least we got the map. You could bring back memories and
oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, indeed. Indeed, indeed. Did you know Pete Aiken?
Oh, he was a great guy. To some degree.
Oh, I was wondering, since you mentioned Dr. Fitz being a Nazarene, do you have any idea what churches were responsible for the children's home, Pentecostal and Maranatha?
Oh, what was his name? Johnson. Bob Johnson, was that the name? They had a nice place up there for the kids. They really did.
That was Maranatha?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a beautiful site.
Yeah, that was great up there. It was just nice. I don't know what happened. The bottom fell out, but.
I don't remember asking Cora, and she might know more because she said her kids went to kindergarten
mm-hmm.
up there.
Right.
But I've never run into anyone yet that knows any names in connection with the place.
Bob Johnson, I think, would be that. But
Bob Johnson,
because
okay.
I remember he sold us his trailer, not trailer, tractor, that we needed for garden work. And the darn thing never would start. It was a pain in the neck. I mean, we worked on it, worked on it forever. I can remember one time being really frustrated, having cranked and cranked and cranked till I was really tired. And the thing finally turned over and started purring. I said, oh, about time, USOB. It stopped right now.
You shouldn't have said that about it.
Oh, I shouldn't have though. I always praised it and always petted it and told
yes.
me what a good tractor it was. And praise the Lord,
so
let's
this...
get with it. And it worked.
So where did he live then?
Bob
Johnson.
I don't think there.
On where Maranatha was.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, I'd like to know how all that, because, you know, Lynn Funk supposedly homesteaded that
mm-hmm.
originally. And so he must have sold it to somebody, and
mm-hmm.
he sold
mm-hmm.
it to Johnson then. I think Don Herning said that Funk sold it because
Here's R.S. Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right below. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We're with Stimbert up here, Johnson mm-hmm. down here, and George Love here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Bob Johnson. All right. So this, all right, this
mm-hmm.
section is his.
I never did get any lineup on this person called Love. I never did.
He's been mentioned by some of the other people, mm-hmm. but not in any great detail. Oh, I think Don said he lived on down here.
Right.
Which is now Love Road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the way they changed things, right? You don't know anything anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this map isn't 100% mm-hmm. accurate, because they show the Hot Springs Road coming right straight out here, and up over that big hill is about 7 miles.
Right.
And it doesn't... It drops off mm-hmm. over here someplace.
Oh, I see here why probably Bert was friends with Fitz, was because here their land abuts.
Oh, well, right, and up here. See, this is Fitz up here, too. Oh, that's Fitz, I think.
Okay, mm-hmm. So Bert sort of...
Bert's on both sides.
Right, they both sides of the road.
And then they, of course, butt down here with the John Holmes.
Oh, the Brockmans.
mm-hmm.
Tilly and her feeding the moose her pancakes. Oh my God. Moose giving it. Send thy fortune feeding the pancakes.
Oh. I'm not surprised. I hadn't heard that, but I'm not surprised.
Oh, well. It was weird after they got divorced. I think they got a lot better after they got divorced.
Oh, yeah. Well, did they actually get divorced or just separated? I never knew.
It was divorced.
Yeah.
He went on one side and her on the other.
Oh, yeah. That seemed to be the ideal arrangement.
They got along real fine after mm-hmm. that. I don't know why.
Yeah, they just couldn't stand to live together, that's all.
Well, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Tilly was fun.
To show the roads are good for many things.
What's the name of that place? Copper Kettle in town.
Peerless? Oh, Copper Kettle. I guess there was a Copper Kettle.
Was it First Avenue? Heavy First. Please tell me about the chili, how good it was. I guess Chili made it.
Well, at the time they were married, she was working at the Peerless Bakery. Now, I didn't know it was a bakery. I thought it was a restaurant, and maybe it was both.
Yeah, both. Mm-hmm.
And that was on First Avenue. Mm-hmm. Well, next to the USO, you know where the USO mm-hmm. was?
So on the...
It's where the plaza is now.
On the south side of the river then.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. But now the Copper Kettle must have been a later...
Mm-hmm. Paul came up and used to be his favorite place to eat when he was here by himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to be in the 40s. Late 40s. Then.
Oh, well. Mm-hmm. In a lot of places like that
changed.
Have come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
People try them. And
so you say Tilly worked there at the Copper Kettle?
I was the impression she owned it. I'm not sure.
Owned it. Well, that's a good way to...
Tilly was known far and wide. I mean, that's what people went in there for. Mm-hmm. But she said, but the old-time people, I forgot half of these.
Oh, yeah. It must have been later on that she worked for the school district for a while. Again, in the mm-hmm. food program, I imagine.
I mean, she's a great cook, no doubt about it.
And Henry apparently was somebody that the kids just loved, and he liked kids, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm.
Ann Lyle talked about him coming over and the kids begging him for stories.
Mm-hmm.
And Leanne Day going over and visiting with Henry. Yeah, a lot of stories got away. I think it was Betty Day said she thought Henry had come up over the Chilkoot Trail. If so, he was pretty early.
I'm sure that's who it was. I was trying to figure out this.
That's Carl.
There's that own property in through here, right?
Oh, yeah, up there by the highway.
Mm-hmm.
We came along the edge. Well, in fact, we came through what was his mm-hmm. property on that side road, the access road. Yeah, he had these three 340s and then this one up here.
Mm-hmm.
And this one he sold to his brother.
Is that where they had the greenhouse down that gulch?
That sounds more like Joe Kruger. At least he had a greenhouse.
Maybe that's who it was.
On the side of the hill there.
Well, he's grown great things in this makeshift green too. Very possessive. You didn't come on his property unless invited. The same with Carl Lindstrom. Remember the kids that I picked raspberries on the edge of the road there, and boy, he got on our case royally. And we got to be friends after that.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. It's amazing how you can start off with an explosion and wind up being friendly.
Well, it sounds like a bunch of these old bastards out here were pretty defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because they were by themselves.
Can't blame them. They see what was happening, and they didn't like it necessarily, I imagine. Oh, brother.
And here's Cora's place, clear up here. Esrow Road must be right in there.
Sinner Gulch, right?
Hmm?
Sinner Gulch?
Sinner Gulch, yeah. Gambles.
Gambles.
Gambles. What was the sign Burke put up? I guess it was Gamble Gulch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why did they call him Sinner's Gulch?
Oh, to make Cora mad.
Did she have religion then?
Yes.
Kinda. They were working with it, but I think she was too busy at that time with all the kids and everything.
He put a stake in the ground and then put a sign on it. And then from the bottom of the sign, he had a whiskey bottle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
String, and on the sign were some dice.
Alaska's favorite pastime. I had a picture of that, and I sent it back to Bert. I shouldn't have done that.
Turn it on their rope, so that everybody that came out the Hot Springs Road saw it.
Poor Cora, I swear. We got even with them, though.
Yes, I think she mentioned something.
That one day, remember when they were at Patrick's on their place?
Boris Patrick up where Julie is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they had gotten a fire truck for hopefully going to put out fires in the area. It was loaded with water, and they'd hope, get someplace and maybe help, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were making a demonstration. We had a big picnic and get together down there with all the neighbors and everybody having fun. Until we got wind of what was going to happen. I mean, Cora and I were supposed to get caught and get doused with this fire hose, right? It was all planned.
Of course.
Until Cora and I caught Bert, and guess who got it? We held on to him, and they poured him straight flat. I don't know, water went straight out of him. I've got pictures of it yet. He was very upset. Very mad at Russ, too.
Oh, Russ was on the wrong side of that, huh?
Well, Russ kind of got on our side there, but that's time for a change.
He's only fair.
Yeah. Poor Russ got it, but take it.
So Bert didn't like a joke on him very well, huh? That wasn't as good.
Sorehead when it came to things.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to him on the phone here the other day, kind of by accident, because I was trying to locate a book, one of his books.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're hard to come by anymore.
Well, I got one on the internet.
And I've got mine. Hang on to it, Ruth.
I will. I had his phone number and didn't know who it was, but I called it to see about books, and here's Bert. So we just talked for 20 minutes, half an hour. He needs somebody to talk to. For heaven's sake, call him up.
Oh, I don't know. He's got neighbors. I got pictures about the. He sends them every once in a while.
Okay.
I mean, he's got this dog, and everybody in the world is giving him a bad time all day.
Well,
look at this
here.
He's not lonesome, believe me.
No, I can't imagine he could ever be lonesome.
I mean, he misses Lee. I know that, but.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But people are keeping him busy.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of pictures to prove that.
Was he telling me there, or where did I hear about the fact that there were all these signs down there about saves green stamps and somebody else saves green stamps?
Jesus also saved green stamps.
I don't know. Guess who?
Sounds like Bert.
Well, it would be hard to resist that, I have to admit.
What can you say? crazy, absolutely crazy.
I'd never heard that about the fire engine. That was a neat idea. Who all went together on that?
The whole community. It's just really neat.
Yeah, where did they keep it?
How where did they keep that? I think they kept it. Our Voris's place up there. He had that big root cellar.
Oh, Voris?
Patrick.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So this was before the Four Julia.
Are you sure that's where they kept it?
This was before the Woods were on the scene then, huh?
Well, the Woods helped, and Voris eventually wound up buying the property.
Did you know, you knew Voris then? Because,
Do I ever? Oh, she shot him. I'm here, what, a year? Year and a half. He and Paul go out hunting, right? Up the seaside way.
Mm-hmm.
Come home with two beautiful woodland caribous. Complete with their hides, right? Comes in there and dumps them on the floor of this makeshift garage of ours and says, "We're going, goodbye." What do you do with them?
I know that story, uh-huh. We have something similar to that, haven't we, or what?
God, it was horrible. Thanks to the extension service, you get this book and you're kind of hung up.
How to skin a caribou, huh?
Right.
Yeah. What do you
believe
mean?
Me, I learned a lot that year.
And they gutted them?
They were gutted, but that was all. That was all.
A new homesteader's wife who learns the hard way.
Well, apparently,
I think if you don't learn so much, you're better off.
Apparently, he was quite a character because Virgil Severns.
Mm-hmm.
He went up to Galena.
Galena, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. And Virgil met him out there, apparently.
He's also got him a new wife, too, so that helps.
Hmm.
Oh, poor Mrs. Patrick, I don't know. Alcoholic.
Mrs. Who?
Patrick. His wife was an alcoholic.
Mrs. Patrick.
So the. If.
Well, that's tough.
In fact, Bate loved it. She'd walk around in this long black coat in the wintertime. Bert would stare at her. What are you staring at? That's Mrs. Crow. That's what her name wound up being.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to this damn coat. Derogatory. No, I don't know.
Was he a GI? Is that what brought him up, or do you know?
Russ, yeah.
No, well, Russ, it wasn't. Yeah. No, Voris Patrick.
I don't know too much about the beginning of his.
It was just a name.
I know they did real well. She raised beautiful radishes and things that went into market. And they tried farming a little bit, but I don't know. I don't think Voris had the energy for farming, and if she'd stayed out of the bottles long enough, I think she'd have done better.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
So on this, I'm intrigued by the idea of having your own fire engine. Did you get it from the military? Was that where
I can't even remember where they wound up getting it from.
It's kind of like, gosh.
Somewhere they contracted it. It came about. Bert would remember some of that if you'd contact him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he would.
He probably would. Mm-hmm. I just had never heard of it before at all.
Did you ever know
it was great. I'll have to dig out a picture of it if I can.
Yeah.
I think I still have it.
And I'd be curious as to how many people were involved in the thing. We had a slightly similar thing here in that the five people on this road went together to buy an old grader to maintain our road out here.
Mm-hmm.
Same general idea. I hadn't heard of any fire engines.
Yeah, it's the old concept of the subscription. So did you go to fires for people other than who helped go in with it? Or did you even go to any fires?
I don't think we ever had any fires.
Never had. That's good insurance, then.
That's right. Buy a fire engine and there'd be no fires.
Mm-hmm. Well, they tested it and it would have worked if they...
Mm-hmm. Worked to douse people,
right,
anyway.
Yeah, I don't recall it ever having to go to fire. It was neat.
And were you getting the water out of Steel Creek?
No.
In those days? Or
Columbia Creek.
Columbia Creek.
The next one over.
Well, it might have been coming from Patrick Springs.
That too, yeah.
Because that's where Julie is, you know, and they've got all that spring water. Might have been a good source.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially because it's artesian.
Yeah, and readily available.
You can get water and not have to have electricity to pump it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't flow very fast, but you do get water.
Yeah, any detail about that would be interesting. How big a truck it was, how big a tank.
Large, I recall, but I can't recall in gallons.
Yeah. Seems likely there might have been a surplus. That would be what would be available then, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And whose idea was it? Who thought of it?
The community. Yeah. as a group, I guess. Mm-hmm. They all gotten together and decided they needed some protection on fire. So.
Yeah, there must have been a fire around the start of this, don't you think?
Well, you get those dog grass fires and everything.
Oh, yeah, bad, for sure.
I mean, it was not only house fires, but
any
brush
kind
fires,
of.
Uh-huh.
Well, here, if that was the fire, and what years was this, in the mid-50s or something?
In the 50s, somewhere.
Kathy,
50s?
Kathy Gettinger and somebody, or was a daughter, maybe?
Oh, look at the birds. Chickadees are back.
We got birds, you say?
Chickadees.
Oh, yeah. And there's a woodpecker.
Yeah, keep an eye out for woodpeckers. We have big ones and little ones that both come in for the suet.
Yeah, we have eagles in Henry's Field right now. Yesterday I stopped
there. I
want to
hear about eagles. I hate them.
You've had bad experience with the eagles down there?
Oh, and Homer. My God, the eagles are so thick it's ridiculous. And then right there in Ninth Point where we lived, they nested right behind our home.
Uh-huh.
And that dirty rat went down and got my cat one day.
Oh. Yeah, well, these eagles can
got
stay
it
in Henry's yard, not my yard, thank you.
It's eagles, thank you.
No, that wouldn't make you fond of them, for sure.
Not either doing this what they're supposed to be doing, but could have left the cat alone. Then the damn thing came and sat on my back porch all day. So the next 2 weeks, hoping for another cat to come out. You know? Wait a minute. I could have reached out and grabbed him. He was that close. Nasty.
No.
I thought so.
Waiting for another handout, huh?
Jeez.
Oh, well. Sometimes I keep wondering, I wish Albie's poodles were down there out here. Those yappy little things.
Yeah, they are pretty noisy. Oh, there's a man that will fill up several tapes for us.
Who's that?
Albie Ditch.
Mm-hmm. He'll fill you on a lot of things, too, he remembers.
But he's an old-timer, and
does he still live here on Ditch Road?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's where she's staying.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're staying there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, my daughter convinced me to sell out where I was at.
Down south.
You know, we're getting older. Yeah. My health has been really lousy, so you got to get a little closer. And then her boy had passed on, so she was feeling very
lost.
Alone.
Scare you?
Well, it kept on going. It didn't slow down, and normally it went on for a while and stopped. But I finally called up the pastor and said, "Hey, come on now, here, I'm in trouble. If I'm going to croak, you're going to be here with me." He said, "Okay." So you wake somebody up at 3:30 in the morning, too. It wasn't nice. I gotta have somebody close to me so I can do what has to be done.
Right. Well, it's good that you came back north then, where you know.
Well, I always kept thinking, I always knew I would, but I wish it had been sooner.
Well, now, where was your house in relation to where you are now?
Right across there, that big house.
Across.
When you're coming up.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you're gonna have to show me when we go back, because I just.
Well, it's kind of off the beaten path now. It's like I passed the last time I come up.
On beyond his house?
It's what, coming up that road, and there's a house sitting right on the highway, practically, and that was ours.
Oh.
They've added on to it like crazy.
Well, you're going to have to show me, because
it used to be a nice place. They used to bring the tour buses up to see the flowers and the garden and everything else, and no more. Gone. Everything's gone.
Oh, that whole area in there is so different from what it was, all those little streets.
Oh, we had a park out there. It was really, really nice. We'd feed the tourists dirty radishes and dirty carrots, and they ate. I loved it.
Now, was Paul really Russian, or was this Bert's idea? He really was.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, he'd been born in Pennsylvania,
uh-huh.
And at the age of a year old or so, went back to Russia with his parents. They had saved enough money to buy a farm there, so that's what they were doing. And in 1936, they wanted him to join the Russian army.
Oh, yes.
Because this was what they did in Russia, and you had to do it. And to do that, he had to renounce his American citizenship. No way. So he got out of the country and came here.
That was a smart move, not to renounce his citizenship, since then he had free passage back to the States.
He wanted out. He didn't want out, so he got out. Mm-hmm.
What about his folks? Were they
Oh, let's see. They wound up in a work camp during the war.
So he
got out
stay.
Just in time because Hitler came through there and destroyed the whole village.
Hmm.
All that was left was the water well in the middle of the village.
No.
So he got out just in time, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And so was a young man when he started coming here to Alaska?
Well, that was my my bad idea, I guess. No, he had we'd moved west gradually, you know, as we'd come in and finally went in Washington. Shores of Alaska kept drifting down, so he decided to come up for a job here and see how it was. And then, like I said, the last time he came home, I was ready for him.
He already had the trailer hooked up.
It wasn't fair. You get all the fun out of it.
Yeah, right.
He said, you're not going to like it. You're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. I can remember the South Fairbanks coming down that main drag. You're going to hate it, he says. Hey, love at first sight. It was.
So where'd you put down when you first came to Fairbanks?
What were we doing?
Where did you put down? I mean, when you stopped your trailer, did he already have a piece of land here?
No, it was Chase Ferrocorp.
Oh, that one
right.
On the old Steve.
Yeah, right.
Okay,
yeah.
So right there on the Steve.
For a whole year. Well, not a whole year, but September 2.
Through the winter.
I think we got in. Oh, the winter was horrible. We moved into the other place in July. That winter was something. 60 below zero. The fuel was wrong fuel, and operating the stove.
Yeah.
And the butane tank froze up.
Oh,
and the trailer wasn't built for Alaska.
It wasn't built
Alaska.
For it at all.
None of them.
And we're freezing to death. And what the heck we doing?
It's a wonder you went on liking it.
I can remember trying to see how guys blow the ice away from the window so you could be cold.
Scratch it off.
And it was good. It taught us lots.
Well,
it's been good. I mean, we really learned a lot in Alaska.
After that, no winter was ever that bad again, was it?
Not that I recall, no.
Well, even if it was, it didn't seem that bad.
No, it's fun, though. Really fun. Yeah. A lesson well learned. The young people should be up here in the older days.
It's good.
We learned how to do with nothing. Mm-hmm. We learned how to. Mm-hmm. Have to get along. It was great.
Yeah.
Go out and trap your bunnies, you know, for food. And tan the fur to make trim on your daughter's coats, all kinds of exciting things. It was good. And it was hard, and you might not like it to start with, but you know how to do things. You can help yourself.
Yeah. What did your mother think of you coming up here? I mean, my sakes, your family must have said, what are you doing going north?
They all live back east. Uh-huh. They could care less what we were doing.
They probably wouldn't have any conception of what you were doing.
We kind of ignored them. They didn't approve of Paul, which I don't think. They thought I should have done a lot better than this Russian peasant who spoke very little English and had no training except farming. It was just too damn bad.
Where did you meet him?
In the war plant.
Oh. Okay, so you were what,
Billy? A new recruit, and I said, okay. I knew new recruits had to get with the old recruits so they could teach him, right? Mm-hmm.
So, what kind of war plant? What were you building?
Machine gun bullets, of course, for the machine gun bullets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was where?
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Bridgeport.
That's okay. 2 weeks later, we were married.
Must have been a pretty attractive guy.
42 years. It was good. It was fun.
42-year marriage based on a 2-week courtship.
Hey, if you believe it. Kindred souls. And
in that time, things moved pretty fast.
Yeah. We were bound as soulmates. That was good.
Well, Susie's the one I talked to, but you have another daughter, don't you? Don't you have two girls?
Let's see, we've got one in Palma and another in Kenai.
Three girls?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I got a son that works for Fred Meyer.
Oh, he's
cutting meat. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Where does Susie fit in this age-wise?
She's actually, I had one boy who's gone. She's the first daughter.
So she's one of the older kids?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think she and our Katie are of an age. I think Katie was born in 56. Would that be about right?
Sue was born in 50.
1950?
I think. Wait a minute.
Before you came here?
1950, yeah, because she was not quite a year old when we drove her up here.
Oh, well, I wonder why Katie remembered her, because she said, yeah, I remember Susie, because she wouldn't have even been in the same high school period. Well, what are the names of your other girls?
There's Paula, and then there's Diana.
Hmm. None of those sound like Susie's.
No.
I'll have to ask her how she knew her.
What are the ages of your other daughters?
Well, let's see.
Might she have been riding a bus?
Sue is 50 or will be. Or
yeah, that's possible.
And Paula was born in, what, 56? She's in her 40s somewhere.
Paula, well, that'd be the one be Katie's age.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right.
Probably. Because Diana was the last one.
Maybe it was from riding the bus. Because all the kids, all ages rode that one bus at one time, so that might have been.
How could you forget a name like Zozuba?
Well, she didn't forget it.
Oh, dear. Crazy, I swear.
Well, that's where I meant it could be picked up off the bus route.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't long before the kids knew the names of everybody
that
got off at this stop and this stop.
Right.
Well, and that's how we kept up with what went on in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If you had kids that rode the bus, well, the news got around.
Before
telephones.
I love it. It's great. boy.
Is that the time when all the children were going to Maine, right?
No. There were other... Maine was a junior high by the time our kids...
Yeah, William went to there. Mm-hmm. That was a junior high.
But when they were short of space other places there for a while, Katie went to second grade, in, I think it was, in the basement.
Of Old Maine.
Of Maine, not Old Maine.
Uh-huh.
Maine school.
Maine school.
Thank God they've left that standing. Boy, doing it with town is disgusting.
Yeah, things are disappearing.
Everything's gone. There's nothing left.
Well, they're trying to save a few things, like the old Oddfellows Hall. The Historical Society is trying to raise money for that.
And there, First Avenue used to be our medical clinic and library, that one building.
Oh, the old George C. Thomas Library?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, on the corner there, right. That was a clinic at one time?
Yeah, they had a narrow slit in there where Mary Carey was the
health nurse.
Was the health nurse.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'd never been in that building. Yeah.
Now we upset her horribly. She given Susie her, they were giving polio shots at that time. And Susie had hers and become violently ill afterwards. Wound up with a mild case of, what do you call it?
Mumps?
Meningitis.
Meningitis.
So I don't know what they did about that, but it was weird.
That would be scary, yeah. Oh, Mary was quite a...
Mary was very...
character.
Very good health nurse. She
really
kept track of everybody, and, I mean, if you needed something, she made sure you got it. Mm-hmm. Good lady. Now, how come they had that slot in there, but that's the way it was.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I sure didn't remember that. We used to go to the library pretty regularly, but I sure... Well, maybe it was gone by the time we came in 56. They may have had it someplace else by then.
Cora said that there was a hospital, the earliest hospital that she remembers was over there next to, what's it called now? If you take the driveway that goes into the Borough Building, it'd be on the right. Chena Hot Springs has an office there, and then there's a little cabin, and then there's the Environmental Center that's on that street. So you go around behind, cross the railroad tracks, and you're on the... south side, across the street from the railroad tracks, there was a hospital in there.
Oh, across from the News Miner.
Yeah, across from the News Miner.
Yeah.
Just across the railroad tracks, because she said she had some of the original medical cabinets that were in that hospital, and her husband tore it down, she said. They bought that land and then tore those buildings down.
Oh, I sure had never heard of that.
I heard either.
I wonder if it could have been a clinic.
That's what I was wondering.
Oh, I wonder if she isn't talking about the original Panama Valley Clinic that was over on the other side of the old Rose Building. Because that's where Dunlap and Lundquist started out over there. That would make some sense. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a clinic, not a hospital.
Three-room house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she said it was a house.
Yeah, bedroom, right.
A bedroom,
oh, sure.
With a bath in between and a living room that was the waiting room, receptionist.
Yeah, everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet that's what.
So that's the original clinic.
Mm-hmm. It was a good doctor, though, Dr. Lundquist.
And close enough to the hospital they could get there without putting a jacket on.
Yeah. Right. Speaking of Dr. Lundquist, you see his name on here?
Here's Lundquist.
There he is. Down there where Funks were later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Dr. Lundquist?
Certainly the same name. And incidentally, he was deeded this little piece of property because this man died in the hospital and deeded the property to Lundquist to pay his bills.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Are you sure it was Lundquist and not Doc?
Schreiber?
There was Haglund?
I beg your pardon. It was Dr. Haglund, not Lundquist. Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah, it was Dr. Haglund. Heavens, those were both such old-timers, I can mix them up. Yep.
Poor Haglund. We having an error for you, doctor. That was interesting.
Trying to remember, when did Joel... Doctor became mayor. Well, Haglund became mayor, was a doctor.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're trying to come up
Ryan,
with. Quit thinking and it'll creep up on you if you're lucky.
Yeah, but I don't want things like that creeping up on me.
Well, Ruth, show me your place.
Well, here's Reno Subdivision.
Yes.
It must have been in that, wasn't it?
Yes, Rainier's. Okay, I remember that. We went up there and wished it well, and it turned out to be a great one. It was a mortician.
I'm not surprised. There were a bunch of them around.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Weren't you in Reno Subdivision?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that. Okay, there's the subdivision, so it had to be...
You were on the south side of the road here?
Wait a minute. Where we're at now.
There's the Hot Springs Road. You've got your finger on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to be pretty close in there somewhere.
So how much land did you have?
We just saw 2 point some acres.
Yeah, that was a pretty popular area right in there. It was so convenient to town.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, out where there was some land to be had.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was wondering where my cats were. Look out here in the dog bed.
All right. Oh, pretty cat. I do love cats.
Oh, we've got 3 of them around here someplace. Pinkus. Come on.
You get?
She says, I'm a cat. I don't have to.
Kitty Code of Conduct says, I will do this.
Yeah.
I will ignore it.
That's right.
Kitty Code of Conduct says, this is the way it is.
Oh, yes. Get up here. Get up here.
Oh, wow.
She's a nice cat. And she is a very independent, nice cat. Thank you.
All right. Well, hi, pretty. Hi.
Oh, well, I can stand that.
All right. Hey, you're neat. You're a nice pretty cat.
She's a pound, kitty.
All right.
Personality plus.
Oh, wow. That's She is, so we hope not.
Yeah.
Give me a break, Kat. Did you come?
She may not want to be held. She tends to be a little independent that way. But then there's another one here. See?
Oh, wow.
My
oh, wow. Baby.
This is Nogi. Poor, miserable cat. Well, Pegasus, you're being pretty patient for you.
Yeah. You gotta do this.
I think she's about to tell you that she's had enough.
You don't like kitty kisses?
Yeah.
Okay.
She'll
one down?
She has been known to bite, even.
I thought you did very well. Thank you.
You want to go over there and be sociable?
Wow. Man, look at that cat. Isn't he gorgeous? Good Lord. You are beautiful. You are beautiful.
Watch out, he'll believe you.
I don't get cat. I don't know how all these dogs will get along with it.
Well, some cat. These cats actually, this cat trained our dog pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And I got George to worry about too. I don't want one that's going to attack my bird.
Oh, no. Oh, she's got a beautiful bird.
Oh, he talks. He is so beautiful. He talks at the store.
Is it a parrot or a cockatiel?
No. It's a cockatiel.
Cockatiel?
He'll get up in the morning and he'll say, good morning.
Oh.
I love you. Give me a kiss. A pretty bird. He's got a repertoire I wouldn't believe. And he learned to call the catties. Here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
And this is
where's
you,
the cat? Here, kitty,
calling
kitty,
George?
Kitty.
You call the bird George?
Don't ask me why.
I think you could pick this one up, Kevin. He's... For a while.
All
then,
right.
Then he tells you after a
ooh,
while when he's ready to get down.
Ooh, that's nice.
Says, do I know you?
I do this my daughter's catch. One of them won't put up with it. The other one likes it.
No.
She's in the middle of my bed and not feeling sociable at all.
No, the third one rarely comes out in public. She's scared of a lot of the things.
Ruth, in the book by Bert, he calls you Cuddles. How did you get the name Cuddles?
What other kind of name for a gal I could throw around 100 pounds of sacks of potatoes and scare the inspector?
Scare the inspector? Who was your inspector?
Henry, when he came
oh,
in.
Oh, right, Henry.
That's right. Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm. We had to think of a name to put on Pat's letter, too. You know, his neat letter drenched in perfume saying that, but... Henry had to leave his naughty hands off me, right?
Oh.
I mean, poor heck. I'm surprised he even...
How long did it take Pat to tumble to what was going on
the next time they came in,
yeah.
She was with us.
Oh.
She knew.
Well, I figured...
Fast friends immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, we gave him such a bad time. It was terrible. It really was. Ted Freeman, too.
Oh, Ted, Ted was the soil conservation agent or whatever,
mm-hmm, right.
So, wasn't he, at that time?
How did Henry happen to become the inspector?
Whenever he had a load of potatoes to go out, Henry would come in and check out so many sacks.
Yeah. I mean, was he already a farmer and that he had this some sort of training, or was it just a job that he had that someone else might have had?
Henry Etcher?
Mm-hmm.
He was a graduate of agriculture.
Yeah.
But was he appointed by the Commissioner of Agriculture?
Agriculture, probably.
It was a state job, as I remember. Yeah, so he had to have some authorization. But as an ag grad, it makes sense that he... I don't know about this. I haven't been kissed this much in a long time. No, you... Oh, he says, this is too good.
You know I love kitty cats, don't you?
So, well, I think maybe. Well, just slipping.
Slippery cats.
Beautiful. All right.
Well, up. Easy does it there. Hey.
We don't do that? Okay, I won't do it.
That's about
you. You don't let me do that, I'll do it. No. I'll pet the head. Okay.
I think he's about to get you again now. He's through being sociable.
You were being very nicely. Oh, this is neat.
We need three of those stands because they all love to be up in it, but they can't share it. One at a time.
I'm buying a thing that has a little house on the top stand, all 9 yards for her, so I guess so.
I would like to have one of those, but I haven't figured where I could put it because I don't want to put that much in front of the windows.
Mm-hmm.
And they do love to be up there where they can watch out the window.
I like the idea we haven't put up curtains.
Curtains are
a pain in the butt.
Pain, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the nicest way. You can see out all over.
Mm-hmm. Let in all that light. Indeed.
Did you ever work for Harold doing potatoes? Harold Herning? Did you ever do potatoes with Harold?
No, I never did. Mm-hmm. We already come to know him through the school bus deal.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that?
All right.
Four wheeler, dog out pulling it. Some kind of a.
Hey, why not?
A hunting dog. What did it look like? Or was it a fire engine dog, sort of a hound?
Dalmatian.
Yeah.
It had a lot longer hair than a Dalmatian.
Oh, did it? I didn't see that much. Well, that's getting exercise. Now, I think the Hernings pretty much all worked amongst themselves. They had enough brothers and sisters and nephews and...
Well, when they got involved with the church over there, too, a little church that we got to know over there, too. The kids used to go.
Oh, at the Sunday school there?
Kids used to go when they were small.
Okay. I didn't know that the Hernings went to that church, but they could well have.
Well, it's kind of a mess over there, right? They moved the building in. I can remember they did that because they moved across our field. We just had put potatoes in.
Oh, who?
They didn't do any damage, though.
Church was this that moved it? I can't remember a name.
It was kind of a missionary thing. I don't remember either. I don't think it was denominational.
Oh, maybe it wasn't.
The first person in there was Clarence Bohm.
What? Familiar name.
Mm-hmm. And then somebody took over for, it became a place for unwed mothers.
Jeez, I didn't remember
that.
That was
the biggest joke in God's world.
There were no unwed mothers?
I mean, she was in charge of this place and took in gals, you know, that were having children without husbands. And that woman was bad. She was nasty. Mistreated those girls and just what she was supposed to be doing for them, she wasn't.
When was this? What years would that have been?
Maybe the early 60s.
Okay, it was after the road switched over, so we weren't driving on the old Offsprings Road, so we probably didn't have any reason to know much about it.
Yeah, that was sad. It was really sad that that time we moved out, so we didn't, I don't know whatever happened to it, but...
Were the babies that were being born, were they being adopted out, or what was happening with the babies?
Well, evidently they stayed there until they went to the hospital and had the children, and I imagine whatever had been decided then would have happened, right?
That'd be interesting to look into.
Not a comfortable situation. I mean, the girls were unhappy.
Yeah.
She didn't need anything to make them comfortable or
so this was a this was a business for her. Is this right? She was making money doing it? Yeah.
Heavy set gal.
Interesting.
Very heavy set. Very gluttonous. I can remember going over there one morning. What that gal had for breakfast would have lasted me all week. I don't know. The young ladies weren't happy there. They just weren't.
What is that building now?
They've got a Sunday school going in there.
Well, that's what I thought. It's all fixed up. It looks pretty nice.
Nice now.
Yeah, a lot better than it ever did because it was a surplus.
Where is it?
On the old Hot Springs Road. Remember where the Sunday school was there? We had elections there occasionally.
Is this the...
Kind of a community building there for a while.
The off-ramp?
Well,
is this off of the old road?
He was right on the old Hot Springs Road on the right-hand side as you were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of up above the road a little bit. Just a rectangular,
yeah,
typical
barracks type building.
Building. Mm-hmm. Not very big.
And so that was our home for unwed mothers for a period of time. And did she run it with her husband or something?
One more time.
Did she run this building with her husband?
Just a single woman. Uh-huh.
A single woman. And I didn't catch her name.
I don't remember it either. Huh. I wish I could think more of it. It was bad. It really was bad.
Well, ask Wenzel Rafe.
Mm-hmm.
Was Wenzel might remember that.
Because he was around.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was. He said he came in the early 50s.
Yeah, he was right there too, so he might remember. Yeah, that was...
And then there's Ditch. He would be out there,
he
too.
He might know, too.
He paid much attention to them.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a name was Eisel?
Not weird.
Yeah, it's a different
name.
Good
old name. Southern name, right?
Oh, was it? I had no idea.
Christ, God. Both their names are weird, Eisel and Albert.
Well, Alvy, I've known other well. Mm-hmm. I always suppose it was short for Alvin, but maybe it isn't.
My daughter, Susie, says her name is Alvin. I have trouble keeping them sort of separated.
Was she from the South? Was she Southern?
Illinois.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, South Illinois. Southern.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
She was a neat lady, worked for Abacoff's there for years.
That's what I was
going to
ask you, because that's what I remember. Mm-hmm. That's where I remembered her.
Yeah, he was. There's somebody else that was quite a guy.
Who was this who worked for?
Mrs. Ditch. You would recognize her face, I think, if you were to see a picture of her. Bessie. No, Bessie worked for Adler's.
You're right.
As far as I
got Abacoff and Adler.
Yeah. Bessie Bilberg. Yeah. Do you remember the Bilbergs? Rudy, he was a bush pilot.
I'll put it back, right?
Mm-hmm. And she worked at Adler's for some years, and apparently later on worked for Pan Am, I think somebody said. At the time, Dorothy was sent out to the hospital in Seattle. She was at Pan Am.
Mm.
They lived down mm-hmm. here for a while. They were in and out. They came and went. I remember Mrs. Ditch. She was an unattractive lady. She looked like she ought to be in a jewelry shop. She was always nicely dressed and
always immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go out and work the garden together, right? She'd come in exactly the way she went out.
Oh, my.
And me. Rub, rub, rub. The
dirt didn't stick to her, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well.
We'll say with a daughter. Daughter would come and spend a week or two with us and when they were living outside of town. And
the Ditches.
Both would go out and play, yeah. Ditch's daughter. The kids were young and mm-hmm. they both go out and play and Cynthia came in just as clean as she went out. My kid was a mess. I don't know how they ever did it.
Yeah, I should have watched them. I'd like to know how that worked.
How they ever did it.
No, I didn't know the Ditches had a daughter even. Well, we didn't know people down that area generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were kind of isolated. I mean,
yeah.
It was just
we all had
basically
our own
us and the Solics and Annie Kettendorf down the road.
Yeah.
That was the three of us in that area, no more.
Well, one...
Wenzel, of course, was in the back, and then...
Was Wenzel married?
He was off the side. Now, the property's no longer there. I think the road got it.
Wenzel's property?
That he used to have.
No.
He sold that.
They bought him out. Those roads did that. Well, we'll have to find out where he was on this map.
Yeah, I was speaking to him, and he said he didn't have a phone. Was he not part of the original phone system that you had?
Mm. That was Louis Johnson's, I think, idea, right?
Mm. Well, it turns out, according to Maddie, Brockmans were also on the little local phone line over here.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense, but it just hadn't occurred to me. Because all the Hernings and Lyles had a phone, and just, you know, a wire that's laying on the ground.
It's one of those things, right?
And it came apparently over to Brockman's and clear over here to where